We're bringing in the weekend on Wake Up with Hope with a special segment on Bible and Christian living, a health feature on exercise, music,
and a powerful devotional from Pastor Mark Finley. Stay with us.
Happy Friday and welcome to another interesting episode of Wake Up with Hope. You know, we're closing out the month of March, remembering the importance of women as we close out this National Women's Month.
That's right. And though once believed to be fairly insignificant and incapable, women have made significant contributions in society as astronauts, teachers, scientists, medical professionals, legal professionals, and many more.
That's right. And we can't forget the most important one. Mothers. I know my mom's watching, my mother-in-law is watching, Heidi's a mother herself, and so we are blessed. Women all over the world consistently make an impact in this world as they raise children who eventually turn into adults and contribute to society. You know, women are indeed special and created by God for a very unique role.
You're right, honey. Yes, we are. And I want you to know that men are important too.
Thank you.
Anyway, let's get started. We are so excited to be here with you this morning, friends, and we're so happy you've chosen to join us.
That's right. You know, on today's program, we're talking about what to do during those difficult moments when life is hard. Well, we also have music, and Pastor Mark Finley joins us to share a devotional. We can't wait to get started. So let's begin by taking a look back at what took place on this day in history.
On March 31, 1889, the Eiffel Tower was dedicated in Paris in a ceremony presided over by Gustave Eiffel, the tower's designer, and attended by French Prime Minister Pierre Girard, a handful of other dignitaries, and 200 construction workers. Out of more than 100 designs submitted, the Centennial Committee chose Eiffel's plan of an open lattice wrought iron tower that would reach almost 1,000 feet above Paris and be the world's tallest man-made structure.
Though initially met by criticism and many doubts, the Eiffel Tower is now widely recognized as an architectural masterpiece. Did you know that God wants to make you His masterpiece? In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, it says, "For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." Maybe you don't feel very significant lately. Maybe you think God has forgotten about you. Well, friends, take heart. God loves you and is working on you. As clay is molded in the hands of a potter, so does God want to shape you into His perfect image. He's working to transform you and fill you with hope, with joy, with love, and peace. So friends, won't you place yourself into His hands totally today and allow His grace to sustain you?
Amen. I want to do just that this morning.
Amen.
As we join ourselves together in this program.
Amen.
Exercise, exercise. Some of us love it and some of us dread it.
Yeah.
Why is it so important? Well, Dr. Randy Bivens gives us the answer right now.
In order to reach our goal of living to 120, we must make several healthy choices. One of these choices is the decision to exercise. In fact, physical fitness is the most important predictor for longevity. According to the CDC, only 23% of Americans get any regular light to moderate physical activity. In light of this information, is it any wonder that we are in the middle of an obesity epidemic? Regular physical activity decreases our risk for many diseases, including obesity, high blood pressure, coronary heart disease, stroke, diabetes, osteoporosis, many cancers, anxiety, and depression. An ongoing study, which began in 1984, has been monitoring the difference between two groups of people at Stanford University, the ever runners and the never runners. The health of these two groups has been tracked for nearly three decades. Not surprisingly, the data has shown that exercise is critical to health. Over the years, compared with the never-exercisers, people who exercise regularly showed improved aerobic capacity, better heart health, increased bone mass, less inflammation, less physical disability, and even improved thinking, learning, and memory. They also lived significantly longer. However, what most astounded the researchers was the fact that the runners continued to have improved health and longevity even if they converted to less vigorous activity later in life. By the 19th year of the study, 15% of the runners had died compared to 34% of the non-runners. Many people claim that they do not have enough time in the day to exercise. But let me reveal a little secret. For every minute of exercise, you gain 2 minutes of longevity. So you just do a little borrowing. You borrow from the future. Take time to care for your body now, and it will pay off double in the future. According to the Bureau of Labor Statistics, the average American spends 2 hours and 45 minutes a day watching television. However, time spent participating in sports, exercise, or recreation was drastically less, the average being only 18 minutes a day. The numbers speak for themselves. We have enough time to take care of our bodies. We simply need to prioritize. There have been several studies that show physical activity can help prevent many types of cancer, particularly colon and breast cancer. Current cancer patients can also benefit from exercise. For example, the most physically active breast cancer patients reduce their risk of cancer-related death and recurrence by up to 40%. Increasing your physical activity after the age of 50 has tremendous benefits. Not only can it add 2 to 4 years to your life, but a recent study has shown that people who remain physically active remain disability-free for an additional 5.7 years. So you will not only live longer, but the quality of your life will be better for a longer period of time. Of all the health habit choices we can make, maintaining physical fitness is the most important. In fact, given the choice between quitting smoking or staying fit is slightly healthier and would lead to a longer lifespan. It has been shown that burning as little as 500 calories per week has positive health benefits. That is the equivalent of walking only 5 miles a week. However, this is a case of if a little is good, more is better. We recommend walking 2 to 3 miles a day, 6 days a week. That would burn an extra 1,800 calories per week. You would gain significant health benefits, as we have described, and be getting closer to our goal of living to 120.
Well, friends, we have to take a short break now, but when we return, we'll talk about what to do when life is hard and share some uplifting music.
And don't forget, friends, to visit our website at hopetv.org/wakeup to take a look back at a recent episode and see what else we have going on at Hope Channel. Also, check out our YouTube channel to subscribe and keep up with us there. We'll be right back.
Welcome back to Wake Up with Hope. What have you enjoyed so far in our program this morning? Send us a message on Facebook and let us know.
We can all agree that sometimes life isn't fair. We face tragedies, hardships, and disappointment. How can we stay hopeful when life is just too hard? Adrian Webster from Bible and Christian Living joins us as he shares some practical tips to stay encouraged.
Where is God when you need Him? Ever found yourself asking that question? I've stood next to too many graves in my lifetime. I've been to too many funerals as well. Cemeteries are a place that represents such brokenness, sadness, bereavement, the loss of people that we love, the end of dreams and aspirations. What's it been like for you recently? Have you lost someone that you love? Have your dreams and your aspirations come to a sudden end? Are you finding it hard to get up in the morning to really love life? I want to share with you that I believe there is hope beyond the grave. There is a reason to keep getting up in the morning. Wow, that's quite something. Whangarei is about a 75,000 population, the larger district, which ranks about 13th largest by population size for New Zealand. You know, as I look out over that that town over there, and I see all those little roofs representing homes, representing families, I wonder to myself, those families, what are their aspirations? What are their dreams? What do they hope for? What are they living for right now? I also wondered to myself how many of those families are experiencing some form of brokenness, anxiety, consternation. It's a difficult world. It's a difficult life. Who do you turn to? Where do you go when it seems like life is coming apart at the seams? I don't know about you, but I know that for me, life has thrown many a curveball, some of which I just have had no idea how to respond to in all truth. And I also find myself coming to the end of my strength and my wisdom and my understanding pretty quickly. Scripture has this interesting idea. God says, I want to be your refuge and your strength. Refuge, you know, a safe place, a soft place to land when life is hard. Imagine that, God saying to you, I want to be your soft place to land. I want to be the place you turn to, the place you run to. Not the one you run away from when life gets hard, but the one you turn to. So my question to you is, what do you do when you come to the end of your rope, so to speak? Do you turn to God? What do you rely on? What's your safe place? I want to invite you to give this a go. Talk to this God who wants to be your refuge and your strength. Invite him, put him to the test, and see if he'll come through for you. I know he's come through for me. I believe he'll do the same for you. Scripture says, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. But if you've never given it a go, I'm challenging you today. What have you got to lose? Why don't you just pour your heart out to him, invite him to be your refuge, and see what happens.
Amen. That was very encouraging. Now it's time for music as we lift up our souls in praise to the Lord.
Bless the Lord, oh my soul, oh my soul. Worship His holy name. Sing like never before, oh my soul, I worship your holy name.
The sun comes up, it's a new day dawning. It's time to sing your song again. Whatever may pass and whatever lies before me, is failing. The end draws near and my time has come. Still my soul will sing your praise unending. 10,000 years and then forevermore. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, oh my soul. Worship His holy name. Sing like never before, oh my soul. I worship Your holy name. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, oh my soul. Worship.
Friends, we have to take a short break now, but stay with us.
After the break, we will have today's devotional thought from Pastor Mark Finley. Wake Up with Hope. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Wake Up with Hope. Thank you for staying with us this Friday morning.
It's now time for our devotional thought. This morning, it will be brought to us by Pastor Mark Finley.
What's more important, your character or your reputation? What is character? What is reputation? Our reputation is the perception that others have of us. Our reputation has to do with others, what others think about us. When other people hear your name, what do they think about? What thoughts come into their mind? Our character is who we really are. Our character has to do with not what others think we are, but what we actually are. Our character is the most important thing. Now, I've heard people say, well, don't worry about your reputation, just worry about your character. What's more important in a car, to have brakes or gas? What's more important in a car? Is it to be able for the car to go or the car to stop? You say that's a false dichotomy. And it's in a sense true. It's a false dichotomy with character and reputation. God desires us to have a positive reputation so that we can positively influence people. But that reputation is never to be achieved at the expense of character. If you have a solid character that knows God, that loves God, that's committed to blessing other people, that will create a positive reputation. In Proverbs chapter 22, the proverb talks to us about reputation. It says in Proverbs 22, verse 1, a good name is to be chosen rather than great riches, loving favor rather than silver and gold. A good name is to be chosen rather than great riches. If we make a commitment to unselfishly serve like Jesus served, He will take care of our reputation. During the early days of the Salvation Army, William Booth and his associates were bitterly attacked by the press, by religious leaders and government leaders alike. Whenever his son Bramwell showed Booth a newspaper attack, the general would simply reply, "Now, son, now Bramwell, 50 years from now, it will matter very little indeed how these people treated us. It will matter a great deal how we deal with the work of God." William Booth knew that the most important thing in life is doing God's will. The most important thing in life is a knowledge of God and allowing the Holy Spirit to create with us an unselfish, kind character. Think about the Salvation Army today just for a moment. They have a sterling reputation. I know when my dad was growing up, he had no father that he knew of, brought up in very poverty-stricken homes in New York City, places like Hell's Kitchen, and the Harlem in New York. And his dad was brought up there. He had a rough time. He was brought up in the Great Depression in the United States, 1928, 29, 30, 31, 32. Those were very difficult years. People were unemployed in the United States, hard to get work. They were standing in long bread lines to get bread just to survive. And it was cold in New York City, but the Salvation Army provided for my father clothing during that time. They provided a coat for him, which he didn't have. And they developed a sterling reputation for unselfish sacrificial service. The most important thing in life is a knowledge of Christ, a relationship with him, a commitment to do his work, to reflect his character and follow his leading. And if that is our decision, he will take care of our reputation. Our reputations are not nearly as important as our characters. And if we're committed to do God's will, he's going to guard our reputations. If we're committed to do his will, he will care for our reputations. In the book of Matthew, chapter 20, we have a story of a mother. And we shouldn't blame this mom too much. She's a story of a mom that wants the best for her children. She's a story of a mom who wants to see her children have position, have honor, have a good reputation. So in Matthew chapter 20, verse 20, this mother of Zebedee's sons, James and John, comes to Jesus with her sons. And she kneels before him and she says, and Jesus says to her, "What do you want?" And she says, "Grant that these two sons of mine may sit one on your right hand and the other on your left in your kingdom." See, she thinks that Jesus is going to come into his kingdom. And she thinks, "I know what I want. I want my sons to have a place of honor. I want them to have a place of position, a place of authority. I want their reputation to be one that they're sitting, one in Christ's left hand, one in Christ's right hand. That's what I want." And Jesus shocks her. He says, a little later in the chapter, verse 25, he calls all of his disciples to himself. He has a lesson he wants to teach them. He says, "You know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them. Those that are great exercise authority over them. They have this great reputation. But it's not going to be so among you." Verse 26, "Whoever desires to become great among you, let him be your servant. Whoever desires to be first among you, let him be your slave. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and give his life a ransom for many." Jesus came not to give his time, but to give his life. He came to reveal the character of God. He touched the eyes of the blind and they were opened. Touched the ears of the deaf and they were unstopped. Touched the withered man's arm and it was healed. Touched legs that were paralyzed and they leaped and walked again with new life. Forgave the sin of the woman caught in adultery. Broke the bread and fed 5,000. What is it about this Christ that draws all men to him today? What is it that gives him such a positive reputation? It's his character. It's his life of service. And he hangs on that cross with nails through his hands and blood running down his wrists and blood running from the temples, from the crown of thorns upon his head, matting in his beard and dripping at the stone at the foot of the cross. He dies there bearing your sins and mine. He dies with the guilt of sin, the condemnation of sin. He who knew no sin took sin upon himself for us. What is it that causes songs to be sung about him? What is it that causes artists to paint pictures of him? What is it that causes books to be written about Christ? Why? What has given him such a positive reputation that echoes and re-echoes down the ages? Here's what it is. Jesus was more concerned about his character than his reputation. And Jesus knew that if he lived a life of self-sacrificial service, a life of love and kindness and compassion, that God would take care of his reputation. And that happened. What about you? Proverbs says a good name is better than riches. How do you achieve a good name? By striving for it, by seeking first place, by trying to get as much power as you can to gain a good reputation. Tell God you want a character of loving service, and He'll take care of your reputation.
Thank you, Pastor Mark, for that encouraging message.
And friends, thank you for watching Wake Up With Hope. If you'd like to learn more about our program, maybe rewatch a segment during the weekend or share with a friend, please visit us at hopetv.org/wakeup.
And we look forward to starting the week together with you, friends. So don't forget to join us right here on Monday morning at 7 a.m. The Voice of Prophecy will be sharing a devotional thought. We will have music. The Health Connection will be back, and Gia and Olive will be in the kitchen. You don't want to miss it. And don't forget, if you enjoyed today's devotional thought and would like to learn more about the Bible, visit hope.study to receive your free Bible study guides.
And we're ready now to start our weekend, friends. We hope you take these reminders of God's love with you. We truly hope you have a great weekend, and we can't wait to see you again on Monday. Of course, we can't leave without sharing a Bible promise with you. And today's Bible promise says, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God." That's found in Matthew chapter 5, verse 9.
That's right. And God promises that those who have the meek and lowly spirit of Jesus will be peacemakers. When we have this sweet spirit that provokes no quarrel and gives back no angry answer, it makes our home happy and brings us a sweet peace that blesses us and everyone around us.
Amen. You know, we've had a great time today, and we hope that you have a blessed and peaceful weekend. Let's pray together. Dear Father in heaven, our hearts, Lord, are so full right now of joy and of peace because of the inspiring and encouraging content that we were filled with today. And Father, as we begin this day and go into our day with work or school, wherever we may go, we pray, Lord, that the peace of heaven would remain in our hearts. And Lord, we pray that we would be truly peacemakers in every circumstance we find ourselves in, no matter what. Thank you, Lord, for being with us, for filling us with the Holy Spirit as we walk together with you today. In Jesus' name, amen.